Okay, let's try that again. Good morning. Oh, you're awake. I hear a voice behind me. Oh, thank you, Frank. Thank you, worship team. Yesterday was a day of celebration. We were joking about a little bit as guys as we were praying for the service here and thinking of Martin and Ashanti. And so yesterday was his last day of freedom, apparently. But anyway, we're kidding, of course. We were celebrating anyway. It was beautiful, beautiful wedding. And there were a few moments in the ceremony that were somewhat humorous, but we enjoyed it. So we praise the Lord here this morning for Martin and Ashanti and their respective families. Last week, I was over at Emmaus and couldn't be here, and Peter and Anita are moving to Iowa, to a place called Newton. And Peter is going to be working on a farm there. And then they're hoping that during the winter months, he and his family would move and down to Texas. So in a little bit, we're going to pray for these different ones. And just wanted to mention that. So if you're not seeing them, you'll know that they have they've moved to a warmer area. And I'm a little enticed at times, especially after 8 months of winter. So last week we also had, in the afternoon, we had our Awana and Trek sort of roundup. And there was a lot of racing going on. People were driving their cars. Anyway, I've got a few pictures if you ever want to see them, but it was a lot of fun. So if you weren't here, you may not completely understand what I was saying, but there were some things going on. Our Awana program is basically from grades 3 to grade 6, and we have it so it complements our ministry here. So it's every other week, and there's opportunity to memorize verses, work on materials. And so I just want to recognize some of the those who received awards and want to, want us to give them a round of applause. So in the first year, these would be grade 3 students, Sophia, Lauren Peters, and MJ finished and completed their materials, memorizing verses and so on. So let's give a hand here for Sophia Booksman and the others, right? Where are you, Sophia? Are you here? Okay, way to go, Sophia. And then we had some 3 more students, grade 6, who finished their books, but weren't able to, obviously do what they wanted to do last year just as a result of what was going on here in our world. And so Jaden, where are you? Jaden, oh, there you are. Put your hand up so other people can see you. Good, there's Jaden. Megan, where are you, Megan? Megan's right here. And Sophia Reffler, where are you? There she is. Okay. So let's give them a hand. They also completed their materials. Did a great job. Yeah. Yeah. Now, there was 3 other students, and they were over at the Emmaus Church. There was Milo, Malachi, and Emery, who also went above and beyond and powered through their books. And so I asked Keith to send me so we would recognize him and thank the Lord for the ministry that Keith and the many that are helping, just working with our children and just trying to encourage them to take the Word of God to heart. And then, of course, 2 weeks ago we had baptisms and so on. Lots to praise the Lord for in terms of the work that's going on in the lives of people. And then Courtney and Mary are away. Went to where there's more winter, north to Alaska. Can you imagine anybody wanting to go to Alaska at this time of year? No, they have some family up there. And Samson, this would be Todd's cousin. Where are you, Todd? Todd? Yeah, right there. And is graduating. Todd reminded me of that. And so they decided to get on Alaskan Airways. Did they make it? Oh, good. You never know with Alaskan Airways, so no. And then also want to remember Mrs. Greening this morning, and she's You know, she's aging and so on, and her days, like all of us, her days are numbered, but she has quite a bit less to go here. So let's pray together this morning, and then I'll invite some men to come up and share. Father, thank you for what we've been singing and reflecting upon. We know that you are worthy of praise, and we want to do that. We want to bow our heads, our hearts, our lives before you and give you that praise today. You know us, you understand us, and you love us. And we're here, Lord, this morning to remember you, to remember the life that was given so that we might have life, and that we might praise you knowing that we're forgiven, that your grace has been extended to us. We thank you, Lord, for these children that we've mentioned already, who've worked hard memorizing verses, taking to heart the things that they were taught. Pray that you'd bless their lives. Pray that they would be future and budding leaders to continue to influence their peers. Thank you for moms and dads who are working with them. Lord, we also thank you for those who are leading that ministry as well, and pray for Keith and all the helpers and Trek and just exciting ministry that we have. We pray for Peter and Anita as they are relocating to Iowa. And again, Lord, we pray that you'd guide them, grant them daily strength and wisdom as they raise their children. I pray that as Peter and Anita are apart here for the next few weeks or so, that you would just allow them to have times of conversation and just bring them together. Thank you for their part in our local church, Anita teaching Sunday school, and thank you for their children. Pray that you'd, again, just watch over them and bless them. Thank you for what we witnessed yesterday with Martin and Ashanti, and just pray that you'll continue to bless their marriage as they look to walk together by faith. Give them joy as they do so. Every morning would be fresh and reminder that you love them and brought them together. Thank you for family and friends who have stood with them and are continuing to uphold them. Pray for Corny and Mary as well, and just pray that you'll watch over them as they're away celebrating with family and bring them back safely. Thank you for Corny and Mary and their ministry here at Faith Evangelical Bible Church. Pray for Mrs. Greening today. We thank you for her, and thank you for the way that she's been an encouragement to so many right here. And just pray that you would be her strength today, that you'd refresh her and remind her of your grace. Thank you for our time here this morning. Bless different ones who will be sharing from your word. Our hearts would be open and attentive as we read your word, that we would find comfort there and be reminded that we've been given a trust, an opportunity to live for you, to tell others about you, to live in such a way that others would be drawn to you. Bless our time here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Just want to invite different men to come up and share some thoughts that you might have as you've been reading, meditating upon God's word. And then towards the end, I'll share a few thoughts with you.
Turn to John chapter 6. I was encouraged this morning already by Kevin Olszewski shared just the hope that we have in as God's children, as Christians. John chapter 6, verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" This was the people that had witnessed Jesus feeding a big crowd. Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those, of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. So do you believe? Do you trust the Lord for eternal life, for this provision that he has given? He is the bread that came down from above. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for what you have done. Thank you that you came to earth and you gave your life. Thank you that you died for our sins. Thank you that you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. Thank you that, that you love. Thank you that you did that for me. Thank you, Lord, that I can come before you, that we can come before you. Thank you for this opportunity. I pray that each one of us would take to heart that you are the provision. You've provided all that we need. I want to praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've been reading in Galatians, and if you turn over to Galatians chapter 2, and I was encouraged by this, and it's just thinking about it further with, in light of communion and all that God has given to us. And in verse 11, Paul is opposing Cephas, or Peter, and he says, when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For because before certain men came from James, he used to eat and drink with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles, because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group, or the Judaizers, those that were put in the law with salvation. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, or Peter, in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile, and not like a Jew. How is it, then, that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one can be justified. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. So I was reminded by this because as we're remembering the death and burial of Christ, it is Christ and only Christ and our faith in him that has saved us. And it's not of our own goodness or things that we have done. But that's why communion is so special and precious in the sense that we remember exactly what God has done for us. Let's pray. Our Christ, dear Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, that we remember your grace and your goodness. And it's not of the law or things that we have to do or customs or anything like that, but it's only through faith and faith alone and your grace that saves us. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And thank you, Lord, that we don't have to rely on ourselves. We just have to trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Turn to 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this amazing gift that you've given us of eternal life, in the future, and also the quality of life that we can have in you now. Just thank you for your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
to share a little bit from Jeremiah chapter 17, talking about the heart. And the context was that Judah was going to be judged. And so I'll just read here from verse 5. It says, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that you know all about us. Thank you that you love us and you're gracious to us day to day. And Lord, we pray that we would direct our hearts towards you and we would live our lives in that way, and that we would also just recognize your mercy in our lives and your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We read Psalm 23. How many would consider that a favorite psalm of yours? Only two of you. Okay. We should read it again, right? No, Psalm 23 is likely a favorite for most of us. And there we go. Cooperate a little bit. We are, Friday mornings are working through a book called The Tale of Three Kings and looking a little bit at the life of David and life of King Saul and life of Absalom. All of us likely don't maybe fully appreciate how God uses all our mixed up things that go on in our lives. Sometimes wonder, how could God possibly work through? But he does. Pretty remarkable, frankly, isn't it? Here's this shepherd boy. He has no real inkling that someday he's going to be a king, but God decides to take someone who's so unassuming, but yet someone who, in the midst of an opportunity to confront the injustice and the evil, decides to take on a giant. Yeah, takes on Goliath. You probably have a few Goliaths in your life. Sometimes you shrink and you hide behind. So we were reading this book, and there was a little phrase in the book that went a little bit like this as he was thinking about this. The shepherd boy, David, was thinking about this little lamb that was sort of vulnerable to this big bear. And so he says to the little lamb, "I am your shepherd, just as God is mine." Let's turn over to Psalm 95 for a moment. Over back there in Psalm 23, you might want to put this little passage there. I'm going to give you about four passages. We're not going to spend a lot of time on them. I just want you to, they're a little bit like little screenshots. Maybe you'll remember them. Psalm 95. I better get there myself. I thought I had my Bible open there. Psalm Again, some of these passages are familiar for you, and that's great, but for some of us, not likely. Psalm 95, verse 6. Come, let us bow down and worship. Psalmist is appealing to each of us to do that. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. That's really what we're doing here as we break bread. It's to actually kneel down. And as a little boy, as I went to church, there was actually a kneeling bench. And throughout the service, there were times where we were called to actually kneel down. I can still remember those times where I wanted to draw near to God. And I was. But little did I know that He was right there beside me, reminding me. As we read here in this verse, He is our God and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. That's who we are. We are coming to acknowledge that the Lord is my shepherd and that He's leading us and guiding us, and we need that. There's no doubt about that. You see it in my life. I see it in your life. And when we're hanging on to the shepherd, we are comforted and we're at peace and we can commune with God, and we can often we'll be saying stuff like this, you know, praise the Lord and thank you, Lord. And then while we're speaking with the Lord throughout the day, we're remembering people that we love and care for, and we ask the Good Shepherd to take care of them as the Good Shepherd takes care of us. Another passage, John chapter 10, verse 11. Again, it's a passage that you're familiar with, and yet likely in the busyness of life, we can maybe lose perspective. In fact, that's really what's happening. That's why we need each other, and we need to be together. It's to encourage one another, to pray together. John chapter 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. So the Lord is my shepherd, but Jesus refers to Himself as the good shepherd. And as we're breaking bread, we're reminded that this good shepherd laid down His life for us. Wow. A good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. We are the sheep of His pasture. Another passage. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Again, just tying these verses together, they're familiar. There's nothing new that but they're wonderful passages because they're meant to remind you that you're not alone. I'm getting to every other page than the one I want to get to there. I was going to use this as a benediction here, but we may do that yet. Verse 20, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant, again pointing us to the price of our redemption, to buy us out of slavery, to set us free, the great shepherd's done that. Yes, He brought us back from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. And then lastly, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. And so we have the good shepherd. We have the great shepherd, but we also have the chief shepherd, 1 Peter 5, 4. The Lord is my shepherd. Yeah. I shall not be in want. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the paths of life. With his rod and his staff, they comfort me. He leads me along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah. 5 verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, and he's coming back. And that's why we're here. We're reminded of that beautiful truth. You can remind me. Please remind me. Because I too lose perspective. But he could come back at any moment. Yes, the chief shepherd is going to appear. And don't you want to receive the crown of glory? The one that will never fade away. Yeah. Psalm 23. And so these last number of days and weeks, Renee and I have been praying for Mrs. Greening and spending some time visiting with her and getting to, well, I guess you might say, just trying to be a shepherd along the way, bringing words of comfort and praying with her. And so this morning in the ABF, we read Psalm 33, which is really one of her favorite psalms. We're talking about hope that Kevin reminded us of this morning. If you know the psalm, as I read it, I'm reading it from the Nearly Infallible version, okay? The 84 edition. So you likely don't have that one, but if you want to say it, you can say it together, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Praise the Lord for that. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. So yesterday we were reading this with Mrs. Green. She says, why anointing your head with oil? I said, well, they live in a very dry, deserty, hot sunshine, and the scalp would get irritated. And you'd be scratching your head all the time, and then it would get infected. There was that aspect of God wanting to comfort you and to remind you that he didn't want you to experience that. But of course, the anointing goes further than that. Just as the Lord was anointing his priests, all of us here are priests. We're here to intercede and to beseech the Lord on behalf of others. We have an anointing, it says there in 1 John. Yeah. Yeah, he anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. How's your cup? Fill it up, Lord. I lift it up, right? Yeah. Surely goodness and love will follow me. It's following you. Just need to look. It's following you. The love of God is out before you, beside you, around you, within you. If you'll only take a moment. Goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, bless the reading of his word. I'll call upon those of you who are helping this morning, serving communion, if you'd come up at this time. Where's Rita? Rita, where are you? Oh, there she is. Okay. Yeah, Rita will be playing the piano while we pass the bread out and the cup out. So meditate upon these passages, the different things these different men have shared, just so encouraging. We're family. I look at you and I see you. But the Lord looks at you and he sees you and he knows all about you and loves you. And we're here to celebrate and find comfort, to know that we're forgiven and loved by God. Ask one of you men to give thanks for the loaf, please.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for dying for us and giving your body to be crucified and paying our sin debt, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would just think on how much we are loved and how much you've given to us. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless this time and help us to continue to think on you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Matthew chapter 26, as while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body."
Lord, thank you for this time we've been able to have, just remembering who you are and what you have done. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you'd bless the cup that represents the blood that you shed. Yeah, just continue to undertake for us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
figured you guys went out and get more wine. It's grape juice, folks. It's okay. Yeah. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." I tell you the truth, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Let's stand together and we'll close in a word of prayer. Lord, you love each and every one of us. You know the different ones that are on our hearts today, family and friends, some who know you and some who don't, some who couldn't be with us here today, some whom we long to see breaking bread with you. Thank you for each home represented, for each mom and dad. May you grant them, Lord, the needed strength. May we love one another deeply. May we walk by faith, trust in you. Jude 24. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake. Have a great day. Enjoy the beautiful weather.